Canberra.
I was born here, I've been other places, and I've come back.
Why wouldn't you live here? It's the greatest place in the country.
This is Mornings with Adam Shirley on ABC Radio Canberra.
I'd like you to use your memory now and remember your feelings on the day of a new job. Were you nervous for the unknown? Confident after a period of acting in the role? Or thankful that you had an income after a time of being unemployed? If it's a promotion you recently received, how have you responded to the increased responsibility, expectations and scrutiny that come with taking on a more senior role? This is an adjustment that Suzanne Orr is in the middle of making because she's just made the move from being a backbench member of the Legislative Assembly to a minister. Minister Suzanne Orr, good morning. Thanks for being on Mornings today. Congratulations on your elevation to the ministry.
Thank you.
To immediate matters, you are now the Minister for Workplace Safety.
Yes.
Have WorkSafe ACT given you a briefing on their investigation into the incident at Bimbury and what exactly happened in the last 24 hours?
So I have a meeting with WorkSafe later today, but what I have been told in the meantime is that following the incident last night, WorkSafe did attend the site. They will be having their own investigation and I expect to be kept informed where necessary during that process.
What sort of things do you want to know from WorkSafe ACT?
The things I'd like to know is how they're going to take the investigation forward. I think it's important to note that we need to have a thorough investigation, that it needs to be considered and we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure that the young people in our care and the workers are best looked after. So what I'd be looking to from WorkSafe ACT is a commitment that that's going to be front and centre in the investigation, and I'm quite confident it will be.
So have you got an insight into the key questions they're asking and what they will then report to you?
Look, I think it's a little bit too early in the piece to actually have all that information at hand. And I understand you had the minister who is responsible for Bimbury on earlier. So there's certainly she would have provided quite a lot of information. But right now, the priority has been on making sure the young people and the workers are cared for and taken care of during this process. And we'll get on to the investigations from this point on.
We'll look to the briefings that occur this morning and then the information that's made available publicly. So let's look at the portfolios you've taken on. A key one is disability.
Yep.
What are your priorities? Keeping in mind the NDIS and some of the challenges that people with a disability face in this territory.
Certainly, and I'm actually quite excited to have the disability portfolio. I think it's a place where you can really work with the community to make a real difference. When you ask for my priorities, I think the two obvious ones are a continuation of the work the ACT government's already been doing, which is supporting people with disability as they transition into the NDIS. There's also the Disability Justice Strategy, which was launched just earlier this month, in fact, and that's got an implementation plan, so I look forward to driving that forward. Other priorities, what I'd actually like to do is meet with the community and hear what they have to say, because I think it's really important when you are representing people that you take on board their views and take that forward in what you work for.
Yeah, the report that led to the Disability Justice Strategy was sobering in terms of the inequality that people with a disability live, despite their competence, their abilities. How much should the government focus on this over and above its other business, let's say, when you see the stark differences, the unfair differences there are in our society?
Look, I think it needs to be focused on and we need to be working in this area, and that's what the strategy has been about, and we've got the implementation plan there. So it'll be a priority for me to make sure that we are actually acting within that area and seeing that through, because everyone within our community deserves access to justice and we are an inclusive city, and that means that we include everyone in every aspect.
I asked this on the day the strategy was released. Does that include targets, quotas nearly, of people who live with a disability to work in areas they have expertise in?
That's something that I would actually like to get more information on and in the briefings that I will be having, and something I'd like to talk to the community about. There is a range of views out there on targets. I know I have my own views.
What are your own views, actually? I know you want to get further briefing on it, but but part of what you want to see as minister will be informed by your own views, Ms. Orr.
Look, it's fair to say I'm in the Labor Party. We do set targets for things, so you can probably guess where my natural inclination falls to that. But it is important in this instance to talk to the community and I think take their guidance in what we go forward. So talking to the Ministerial Advisory Council, other members within the community, their representatives, and that's the conversation I'd like to get involved in. And I'm hesitant to say too much and commit to too much until I have actually spoken to the people I'm looking to represent.
So in terms of making this a reality, the justice strategy for people with a disability, what is needed to ensure it doesn't become a well-meaning report that gathers dust to something that does transform and change people's lives for the better.
So in my experience, it needs people who are willing to drive it along. And certainly I think that commitment is there from the people who put together the strategy. We know Heidi Yates has been doing quite a lot in driving that within the legal community, and certainly as the minister, I intend on being a voice for that. And I think working together, we will make sure that it doesn't become a document that gathers dust. It's a document that actually drives change.
How much of it is about increased funding?
Ooh, that's a good question, and I will probably take that on notice and come back to you once I've had a chance to get across all the detail of it.
You're hearing from Suzanne Orr, Minister Suzanne Orr, who has portfolio responsibilities for disability, amongst other things that are now within her remit, having moved from the backbench in the ministerial change-up that Andrew Barr announced just yesterday. The fact that she was a minister became news publicly late on Friday. You are also responsible for ensuring an independent body oversees safety in ACT workplaces. Why, in your view, is an independent body crucial?
So the independent body is crucial because it does need the focus to be able to investigate what it's investigating and to make sure that it's got that standalone power. I mean, we all know with regulators that the more... what's the word here? With the regulators, the more independence they have, the more they can actually go about what they're doing in a way that's not influenced by other parts. And I think,
including government.
Look, potentially, I don't think it's we don't necessarily need to be drawing and saying that that's the case in WorkSafe instance, but certainly we know in other areas that there is. I mean, ABC Radio has had chats about independence lately, so we know certainly giving a level of independence to bodies is something that does help them to carry out their responsibilities. And WorkSafe ACT has a very important responsibility within our community to make sure that we are as safe as we can be when we are going to work, and having the independence there to take the investigations that they want to undertake and to make the recommendations they need to make, I think, is crucial to making sure that we're getting the best benefit from having WorkSafe.
In terms of a timeline, have you had a chance to set down or establish a timeline for when that independent body will be established?
So I've actually got all my briefings today on the finer detail. So I've had the higher level briefings where I get to be told everything that I've got responsibility for. But down to the actual details, the nuts and bolts of stuff, that's actually all coming today. So unfortunately, if you had me tomorrow, I probably could have given you a better answer. If I'm invited back, I can probably give you more detail.
Brendan is saying that he's excited to hear that your background, part of your background, is in urban planning. Mm-hmm. Brendan says, I encourage Minister Orr to use her skills and experience to understand the demographic and infrastructure issues that have risen in Tuggeranong over the last two decades. You're geographically at the other end of Canberra.
I am,
but
yes.
Given your experience in urban planning, how much attention should Tuggeranong and Woden get in terms of renewal, development in the way that Gungahlin and your region of Yerribee has?
So I think with my urban planning hat on, I think it's fair to say all the regions of Canberra are actually at quite different points within their histories. So Gungahlin's relatively new. I mean, there are parts of it which are probably just over 20 years old now, so heading out of adolescence. So it's got quite different needs in the sense that the population's growing, that it's a young population overall, and it's quite a multicultural population. Now, I grew up in Belconnen, in the Belconnen parts of Yerribee, actually. So I think I'm the only member for Yerribee who's lived in the electorate all all their life. But Belconnen faces a different challenge in that it's getting to its middle age, shall we say, but there's quite a bit of renewal. And I have a lot of friends who are moving into the houses that their parents raised them in to raise their own families.
How much do they talk to you about a lack of services, infrastructure, and the feeling they're being left out a little bit in funding and planning decisions?
Actually, certainly from within the Belconnen suburbs of Yerribee, which I'm active in because that's where I'm from. There's not a lot of negative comments. Quite a few people are quite happy, particularly with the hospital services that are coming forward. There's been a lot of investment into Calvary, so we've been talking quite a lot with people in the electorate about that. The schools are quite good. We have great public schools in the area. I'm always hearing from people how much they love the principal at Girralang Primary School. So, and most of the stuff that I do focus on in that area goes to just making sure that the infrastructure that is there is being well maintained.
I do want to come back to those areas of Tuggeranong, though, that are highlighted as maybe being tired and in need of renewal for the locals to get the best out of their home that they love. Mm. Even though you're a Yerribee representative, do you now as minister, with the experience you've got, have more of a role in highlighting some of those issues?
So one of the things I think it's fair to say is that at the cabinet table you can bring forward views and perspectives, and I will certainly have views and perspectives from where I'm professionally trained, and where that can add value to the cabinet discussion, I would intend on taking that forward. And I don't think that needs to be specific to one geographic area of Canberra, but to all of them.
Suzanne Orr is our guest, new minister in the ACT government. Amongst her responsibilities, Minister for Workplace Safety and for Disability as well. Adam Shirley with you on Mornings, and it's good to have your company at 17 past nine. What sort of a say did you get in the portfolios you now have responsibility for, Minister?
I actually said to the Chief Minister that I would be happy to serve in any portfolio he thought I could contribute in. So my say was, I'm happy to help.
And does that then, because most of us won't be privy to that sort of discussion, does that mean portfolios get put forward, you have a bit of a discussion about who gets what and then settle on those responsibilities?
Oh, look, certainly. There was a bit of a discussion, but everything that was put forward by the Chief Minister, I was more than happy to take on the challenges within those portfolios.
It is just on a year, a bit over a year until the next election. And there has been, as you're well aware, critique of some of the aspects of the Labor government's performance. What's your perspective on what it will take for your team to have a chance at winning the next election?
So from my perspective, I've always been out in the community talking. We'll do quite a lot of door-knocking, stalls at shopping centres, and making sure that we are letting people know what we are doing for them, because that is our job at the end of the day, to represent the people who elected us. I think in going into the next election, that's the approach I'll continue to take, is being as active as I can out in the community.
Are they putting forward much critique about issues, transport shortcomings, health, hospitals, GP waiting lists, bulk billing, if you look at construction as well and the lack of quality in some of the apartment buildings and those sorts of complexes, is this being raised to you? Because it gets raised to this station.
Yeah. So I'll pick up on the last one you said, which was actually the issue of build quality. That's actually something from the backbench that I drove quite strongly based on the comments that I had got from the community. Now, the government is doing quite a lot in the area, and I believe you've had the Minister for Building Quality Improvement, Gordon Ramsay, on quite a bit to talk about these. What I drove forward from the backbench and through the Economic Development and Tourism Committee was an inquiry into the areas where people said, I still have a few more questions around here. So we like everything you're doing, but we'd still like to have a few other bits and pieces addressed. So through the inquiry, we actually looked at quite a few of that. Now, that inquiry is still ongoing, so I don't want to talk about it and try and presume any outcomes from it. But it's certainly, I think, fair to say from the evidence that we've heard publicly, there's been a lot in there, and particular focus on certifying has come up quite a lot. And also what happens after the construction period and once it's been handed over to the owner, and remediation and defects.
So transport, health, waiting lists for surgery. Does this sort of thing get talked about when you're at the malls, at the shop fronts that you talk about?
So up in Yarrabee, transport's going quite well. We've had a lot of road upgrades. We've had the start of the light rail and the bus network. And most of the feedback I get from people is actually quite positive. They're very happy to be through all the construction roadworks. I know myself, I'm quite happy with that. I always say to them, yes, I know your frustrations. I live here too. So it's one we've got through. It's been good. And the comment I get most from everyone at the moment is it's working really, really well. On health, we've had the nurse-led walk-in centre opened in Gungahlin, and that's been really well received by the community. I know that my partner has used that. I've sat there with her. I've seen quite a few members from the cricket team while I was in there. So it's certainly something where there is the investment going in. We've got a big investment going into Calvary Hospital, as I mentioned previously.
But are people tickety-boo? I mean, are they satisfied with the other health needs in terms of needing to go to the hospital, about whether they can afford a GP or not?
I certainly am not hearing from people that they have concerns within those particular areas. I have on the backbench worked with quite a few people who are experiencing issues with the NDIS. So I do look forward to being able to continue that work as the minister and advocate for people. And I think that's one of the areas where we can actually really keep going and make quite a bit of change.
Suzanne Orr, there's quite a bit to do, and obviously not much more time in this phase of government to do it. But on your new ministerial responsibilities, thanks for speaking about them today and coming in on Mornings to speak with people who are listening.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Minister Suzanne Orr on ABC Radio Canberra, a couple of days into her term as minister.